बहिष्मानेतरत्यात्मम् परोक्षेण प्रदर्शितम् यत्परोक्ष प्रियो देवो भगवान् विश्वभावनः बहिष्मानेतरत्यात्मा. Translation. My dear King Pachinibhari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus, I have described the story of Paranjan to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization. As stated in the Vedas, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Deva, there are many stories in the Puranas that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without a transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti yoga is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables like this one, narrated by Narada Muni. King Prachinibhava Om Agyana Timirandasya. So, these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam are not to be confused with some of the earlier writings by Srila Vyasadeva. In the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, there is a very beautiful description, a discussion really, between Sri Narad Muni and Vyasadeva. And at that time, Vyasadeva had already compiled many Vedic literatures, the Mahabharata, and so on, but he was not feeling satisfied. Just like sometimes one may eat a meal, but if the meal does not take into consideration all of the rasas, right? Each rasa of the tongue corresponds to particular nutrients that the body demands. Sometimes we get a craving for this or we get a craving for that. It's really because the body is seeking salt or seeking sugar or seeking something green or something grain, some protein. So the body tells the brain, and the tongue then starts to ask, please, give me this, give me that. So when a meal is containing all of the rasas, then when one takes that prasadam, of course, for the devotee, the ultimate rasa is the nectar of Krishna's lips. So even if the meal has all the rasas, if it has not been offered to Krishna, for a devotee who's become very sensitive after taking prasadam for some time, when we taste something which is not offered to Krishna, it doesn't taste the same. Isn't it? Well, what is this? Strange. Because we can perceive that there is something unique. The first time I tasted prasadam in the temple in Detroit, Michigan, one devotee brought me an apple and some popcorn. I was in a festival in a place called Belle Isle in Michigan, and the devotees were doing Harinam Sankirtan. And in those days, they would take out a picture of Radha Krishna, and a picture of Lord Chaitanya, and a picture of Prabhupada, and a big symbol with the tilak. And the devotees would chant, they would hold these signs. So we went, my friends and I, we went. And we heard the kirtan. So we walked over, and when we stood there watching the kirtan, one devotee, one mother, came up to us with a plate. And on the plate was some popcorn and an apple, a half of an apple. And she said, "Take prasadam." And I said, "Excuse me? Take what?" She said, "Take prasadam. This is Krishna's mercy." I said, "Okay." And I sat down, and I took a bite of the apple and the popcorn. And then my friend was sitting next to me, and he was eating also, but he wasn't eating. He was just sitting, and it was sitting in front of him. So I ate the apple, and I started eating the popcorn. And for some reason or other, I mean, I'd had popcorn all my life. It's common in America, popcorn. You know what popcorn is in India? Okay. So I grew up eating popcorn. You go to the movies everywhere, the circus, whatever, you know. In home, mother was always making popcorn. So it was not new to me. But for some reason, this popcorn tasted like, unlike any popcorn I'd ever tasted. So I'm eating it and I'm going, "Wow, this is really good popcorn. And this apple too, this is a good apple." And, you know, I grew up in Michigan. That state is famous for apples. I don't know, in India, maybe there's some place in India too. Kashmir. Okay, they get good apples, right? Cold, hard, sweet, right? Juicy. So in Michigan, they have like 10 different kinds of apples. But this one apple, I thought, "Oh my gosh, this is delicious." So my friend was sitting there, and he wasn't eating. So I said to him, "Are you going to eat that?" And he said, "No." I said, "Okay, I'll take it." And I took his too. I had to eat his also. Because there was something special about that apple and about that popcorn, which I found out later. One devotee told me how Prabhupada had said that when we offer the bhog to Krishna, Krishna eats with his transcendental senses, and then he leaves for the devotees, and he mixes in his saliva. So it has a special taste and a special effect. So when I went to the temple the first time, about 2 months later, when I left the temple, the devotees gave me a plastic Tupperware, okay, with rasgulla and sandesh, burfi, all sweets. And I was driving home in my car, and I thought, "I just have one sweet, you know. It was pretty good, you know." So I driving, and I ate the one. By the time I got back to my apartment, they were all gone. I had finished them all. And when I told this to a devotee, he said, "Oh, that's very good." He said, "Srila Prabhupada said, in the beginning, when you come to Krishna consciousness, just fill up to the neck. Take prasadam and don't think about it. And become purified." So mixed with Krishna's special ingredients, the taste, all the rasas are completed. Okay? Similarly, Vyasadeva was writing so many literatures, which included fantastic stories, amazing stories of amazing pastimes. We hear some stories today of something happening here, some battle, some fight, whatever. Like in America, they have this professional wrestling. Okay? And all of the men, they're very huge, big, you know, giants. And they fight back and forth. It's fake. It's a show. Right? They don't really do battle. But in the Leela of the Pandavas, for example, they were doing battle. And these stories are very, very as it's described here. Interesting. But still, after writing all of this, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. He wasn't content because he hadn't connected all the dots. All the dots had not been connected back to the origin or the cause of all these wonderful detailed pastimes. So Narada Muni said, now you have to complete the task. You have to describe the pastimes, the wonderful stories of Krishna directly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then those pastimes were even more enhanced. They were made more glorious because the Lord Himself wanted to hear about those pastimes. So He came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and exhibited a feverish interest in the pastimes of Krishna, and especially a feverish interest in the ultimate pastimes of Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And then he took it another step further, and he invested the essence of the ecstasy that he himself, Krishna, gets from hearing those pastimes. He invested that experience into the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And just like Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know what kind of mantra my spiritual master has given me, but it's certainly super excellent and most amazing, because even without explanation, I recite this mantra, and sometimes I dance, and sometimes I sing, and I spin around like a top or a dervish, and I fall down on the ground, and I faint, and I cry, and I become overjoyed, and I become very unhappy, and I experience all of these feelings just by singing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna, he experienced the happiness of hearing his own pastimes and hearing his own name and singing his own name. And then he mercifully distributed that freely to everyone. We get some idea of what is mercy. Mercy means it's undeserved. You understand? Sometimes someone does something and they get awarded. You understand? They do something heroic, or they do something good for the community, or they do something, they do some special performance, or they excel in a particular field, sports or science, government, something, right? And they are awarded some type of special prize or acknowledgement or a benefit, okay? But when you get something for absolutely no reason, that's mercy. One of my godbrothers recently was discussing this quality or this characteristic of mercy. And we were sitting together, and we happened to see this was actually about a year ago, and we were in Mayapur at the time, and he was looking out the window. We were standing by the window. And we looked out, and we happened to see a big mouse, or maybe a rat. Mouse or rat. But it's big. Probably a rat. And he said, mercy is, I take, because he had some mahaprasadam, some cake. So he took a big chunk of the cake, and he just tossed it out to the rat. And the rat scurried over and took the cake. And he said, that's mercy. The rat doesn't deserve, he's a rat. We have to think, what did that rat do to get a body of a rat? Huh? We don't even know. What did the living entity do to get such a body? Not only does he live a hellish life, but he's ugly too. You know? It's one thing to have to suffer, but it's also to suffer and be ugly. That's very bad. So the rat is a very terrible existence. Nothing meritorious there, but still he gave him the cake. You see? So mercy means that Krishna, he gives for no reason. Just because we exist and we are parts and parcels of Krishna. So Krishna just mercifully gives access to him through the holy name. And every time we recite the holy name, he keeps track of that. In the material world, people who are materially affected, they are affected by different sentiments, isn't it? Just like if I speak nicely to you, you might consider me to be a friend. Right? In Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that austerity of speech, right, involves avoiding speech that offends. Right? Speaking truthfully, palatably, avoiding speech that offends. Right? Hare Krishna Prabhu. You know, we address each other as Prabhu, Mataji. We always defer. Very respectful, right? Very gentle. Just like the other day, I was in the hospital and I had a minor surgery. So in the operating room, they were very gentle. I was amazed. Every time they were going to do something, they would almost ask me for permission. They called me Mr. Patrick. That's my legal name, Patrick. So they'd say, Mr. Patrick, we're going to put your arm over here now so we can keep your blood pressure during the operation. Is that okay? And I say, oh, sure, go ahead. Now we're going to do this. Is that okay? Okay, no problem. Mr. Patrick, now we're going to make a little incision. Are you okay? Are you comfortable? Yes, yes, I'm okay. Like that. And actually, it was very endearing. You understand? Very endearing. When I left the operating room, I told my wife, I said, boy, I've never experienced such gentle doctors and nurses. You know, it was amazing. And I felt a strong feeling of affection for them. Now just imagine if it was the opposite. And they didn't say anything. They just tossed me around on a table like a rag doll, threw my arms up like it was like an execution, you know? Like they're going to put me in the electric chair or something, you know? Strap me in, you know, start cutting away. Don't even ask me, whatever, you understand? Imagine that. I would not feel so, you know, I'd come out thinking, never again. Man, forget about it. I'm never going to do that again. You understand? So in the material world, we are affected by this type of positive and negative sentiment and emotional response and instigation. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is not like that. Krishna simply loves his parts and parcels. And he wants every single living being that he has manifested, who may have made the mistake of turning their back on Krishna and becoming inimical, right, to Krishna. It's just like I have six children. And you know, as when you raise children, sometimes you say, all right, kids, stop doing this. I want everybody to do this. And they go, why? Why now? Oh, Dad, we were having so much fun, you know, doing this or that. And you go, no, I want you to do this. And they go, oh, why do I have to do it? Why can't he do it? Or she do it? Right? Kids are like that. They say, and then as a parent, you have to say, well, no, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that. It's time to take a bath, you have to go to sleep. Why do I have to go to sleep? You know. So the living entity is like that with Krishna. Krishna gives us our existence, creates us with an original consciousness of service and love. But somehow or other, we snap and we go, why do I have to serve you? Why can't you serve me? Right? So Krishna says, okay, all right, you want that, go ahead. Go down there, take birth in Bombay, and compete with the other 30 million people who are all trying to be me. Right? So we come to this material world. But Krishna, even though we develop this little manifestation of, Prabhupada actually says in this chapter, earlier in this chapter, he actually says we develop a mentality of hate for Krishna. We resent Krishna. So, Krishna is not affected by that. And there's a very beautiful quotation, which I wanted to read to you. One of my favorite quotations in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam by our wonderful Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada one time said about his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote a letter to the GBC and he asked them, please, kindly take responsibility now for this movement and relieve me of the burden of managing so that I can translate Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, I have to choose each word very carefully. He said, it is actually document. Right? We all know that documents, when something is a document, is a very important piece of paper. Just like in America, I know in India, I don't know, I'm sure you have it, but in Delhi, I would imagine there's some type of museum or important building where the original documents of your constitution, right, these things, they have them there, right? In America, they have the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, these things, letters by various presidents and so on. They keep them, okay, in a Smithsonian. It's called the Smithsonian Institute. So, Prabhupada's referred to his purports like that. Documents that will stand the test of time. Okay? We will come and we will go, but the documents will remain. Is that clear? So, Prabhupada referred to his purports like that. So, here in this purport, the story is, the chapter is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. That's from Bhagavad Gita. All right? So Srila Prabhupada writes, whenever the Lord punishes persons like the demons, however, such punishment is meant for the good of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, being envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may accuse him, saying, Krishna is bad. Krishna is a thief. And so on. But Krishna, being kind to all living entities, does not consider such accusations. Instead, this word, instead, which means in place of that sentiment, instead, he takes account of the conditioned soul's chanting of Krishna, Krishna, so many times. He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them in a lower species, but then, when they have stopped accusing him, they are liberated in the next life because of chanting Krishna's name constantly. Isn't that amazing? Whether they praise Krishna, or they flatter Krishna to try and get some favor from Krishna, or they blame Krishna for their difficulty. Krishna, why me? Right? Why now? They don't do that. And Krishna doesn't pay attention to that. The only thing he hears is, he's chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna. In the hospital, the first day when I got up in the morning, I was chanting my japa in the hall. So I was chanting around in a circle they had in the hallway there. And in the room next to me was a woman, a mother. She was sitting there in her room taking care of her daughter. Her daughter had just had surgery. So the door was open and her mother saw me and she said, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, come here. So I walked up and she said, you chanting mala? Chanting mala? And I said, yes, Mataji. And she said, what country you are from? And I said, I'm from the United States. And she said, Jai Shri Krishna. The next day, when I got up and was chanting, when she came out with me. And she also started walking around chanting Hare Krishna. So you see? She saw that she would be accepted. And the influence of one devotee chanting, so she started chanting her japa. Or whatever prayer she was chanting. So this is the point. Krishna consciousness is going to spread. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's going to spread to every town and village on the planet. Right? Jari Thako Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Gyai Guru Tanhar E Desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in every town and village, my name is going to be heard and chanted. One time Srila Prabhupada said, there's a Brahmin born on every block. At least one. Which means there'll be one person who's interested in the truth. And you can tell them the truth. You see? And they'll embrace it. And they'll have affection for the truth. And then they'll tell their family and friends and so on. And people are amazed how this Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. How is it spreading? What is happening is, sometimes people are speaking badly about Krishna or the devotees. Sometimes they're speaking nicely. But it doesn't matter. They're speaking. One time in Chicago, when Srila Prabhupada came to Chicago, in 1975, they brought one newspaper article to Srila Prabhupada. And one of the GBCs was a little concerned, you know, with the public image. And he was a little bit antagonistic to the book distributors going out, stopping people in the public. You understand? And he thought, well, this is creating a negative impression on the public. So he came to Prabhupada with these considerations. And he wanted to show Prabhupada this article that had been printed in the Chicago paper that week about the devotees. And the article described us at the airport, distributing books, harassing the public. They love to use that word, harassing the public. So, they brought the article to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada took his glasses and he put his glasses on. And he, with his finger, he went down the article. Like this. And then he went back again. And he went, No, I don't think this is a bad article at all. This is a very good article. Just see. They have said that the Krishnas are this and the Krishnas are that. and the Krishnas do this, and the Krishnas do that. Prabhupada said, 11 times I count here, they have chanted Krishna's name. So if anyone reads this article, they will chant Krishna's name 11 times. Prabhupada said, this is very good publicity. The idea is that people, no matter. Now that does not to say that we should go out of our way to antagonize the public. But we should do everything we can to induce every living being on the planet to recite Krishna's name at least one time before they leave their body. 3 years ago in New York City, we had, of course, 9/11. You never stop hearing about 9/11. Right? 3,000 people died in one day. You know how many people died the next day in the United States? The very next day? 6,000 people. Twice as many died the very next day. And do you know how many people died the next day? 6,000 more people. And amazingly, the very next day, again, 6,000 people. On the day that 9/11 happened, on the whole planet, approximately 187,000 people died of natural causes. Natural causes. Krishna is the ultimate terrorist. Isn't it? He sneaks in, gives you a heart attack, gives you cancer. You choke on a fish bone while you're eating your dinner. You're walking across the street, smacked by a car. You come home, your wife is angry with you. Right? Every day, about 180,000 people leave their body. Every day. And this has been going on for years and years. So why 9/11 is such a big deal? So after 9/11, I was on the street in New York distributing books. And I was usually I distribute Perfections of Yoga. I love to give that book out as a first book. And I keep Science of Self-Realization and Bhagavad Gita, some small Bhagavad Gitas. But generally, my first book that I like to give people is The Perfection of Yoga. Because that's the first book I read. I read that book in 1972. My friend gave me that book after I read another book called Autobiography of a Yogi. You heard of this book. Paramahansa Yogananda. So I didn't like that book, and I told my friend, it's humbug. He's a name dropper. Krishna came, Buddha came, Christ came, Gandhi talked to me, nonsense. So he said, okay, but I have one book here. You will not find any flaws with this book. I guarantee. I said, okay, give me the book. He gave me Perfection of Yoga. 30 years later, I'm sitting here in front of you talking about the perfection of yoga. That's how powerful that book is. Right? And all my children, they are practicing the perfection of yoga. It's that one book. So effective. But after 9/11, I thought, oh, I'm going to switch for a week or two. I'm going to give out Beyond Birth and Death. You know this book, right? Also, that is a fantastic book. Fantastic book. The very first words in that book. Who knows what the first words are in the first chapter? Does anybody remember? Anyone? We are not these material bodies. I gave that book to so many people. I gave that book to one man. He was kind of a bum, on the street. Always intoxicated. But I gave him that book, and 1 hour later he came back and he said, this is the truth. He was intoxicated. He said, we are not these material bodies. So what a potent book. So after 9/11, I was giving Beyond Birth and Death. And I was saying to everyone, right now, everyone is very concerned. Many people have lost a loved one in this tragedy. I said, but unfortunately, people are forgetting that the mortality rate of New York City right now, this is tragic. The mortality rate is 100%. Everyone in New York City within 100 years will be dead. Everyone. So, this is the point. The real tragedy is that Krishna, here, Prabhupada has explained that Krishna is so kind, so merciful, that if you just one time, you walk by the Harinam party, and you see the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and you say, what are you doing? And some devotee says, we're chanting Hare Krishna. And you say, we're chanting what? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. What is that all about? Names of God, blah, blah, blah. We explain. They go, it's not for me. Okay. And they walk away. And they never again stop. They never inquire. Still, now, when they walk by, and you're chanting, in their mind, they're thinking, oh, those are the Hare Krishnas. Those crazy Hare Krishnas. I can't believe it. Hare Krishnas again. But eventually, that changes. Just like in New York, where I work every day, is a place called Rockefeller Center. You've heard of this place, right? It's a famous place in the heart of New York City. Prabhupada one time said, you may be Rockefeller, you may be any feller, but still you must face death. So at Rockefeller Center, every day, myself and three other devotees, we do Sankirtan, distribute books. And many of the people that work in Rockefeller Center, initially they were not very friendly. Oh, why are you here all the time asking people for books, sell your books, get money? You just want money. So he worked for NBC. He had the NBC, because that's at NBC Studios. You understand? So he had his NBC tag. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Henry. I said, Henry, you work for NBC, right? He said, right. I said, what is the business of NBC? And he said, well, information and entertainment. I said, right. And most of the information, we can't do anything with that. Right? You can read the newspaper or watch the news, but after watching the news, is there much you can do with that information? Not really. Just like yesterday in Fallujah, in Iraq, something like 60 people were killed. Your knowing that this happened has no effect on that. You understand? No effect. Nothing. You can't affect that at all. 99.9% of the quote-unquote news is just gramyakata, fancy gramyakata. You know, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, gramyakata is described as the village talk that goes on between the villagers when they go down to wash their clothes at the river. Okay? Or they go to the well to get some water. Oh, hello, Mataji. How are you? How is the family? How are the children? Oh, that's nice. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's sick today. Oh, too bad. Give a little ginger. That will help. Okay, yeah, nice. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Right? That's called gramyakata. Did you hear? No, really? Oh, my gosh. Yes. So-and-so died. So-and-so's sick. So-and-so's getting married. So-and-so's having a baby. So-and-so ran off with the milkman. So-and-so came back from the milkman. Etc., 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 isn't it? And most of the newspapers. Like, I noticed a couple years ago, my family and I, we were on a train going from Calcutta to Delhi. And on the train, there was one, you know, magazine in India, more even than America. America is crazy about celebrities, movie stars, you know, like that. But it seems like in India, they're even more crazy about movie stars. It's amazing, you know. And so I was reading a little bit what they say, what they talk about. It was so childish. It was incredible, you know. It was amazing. But people like to hear this, okay? So really, there's no difference between talking about what the movie stars eat for breakfast, right? And the so-called important events going on in Israel or Iraq or Russia. It's about as important. We have nothing to do with either one, right? Nothing. Insignificant. So I said to this gentleman, I said, NBC is in the business of entertainment and information, and both of these serve really only one purpose. And the purpose of that is to distract everybody, right, from reality, which is what? That at the end of that day, 6,000 people are going to be dead in America. And the next day, another 6,000 people are going to die. And the next day, another 6,000 people are going to die. You see? That's the reality. And thousands of people are going to get sick, and thousands of people are going to take birth, right? And thousands of people are going to go bankrupt, and thousands of people are going to... Oh, so many different problems. And that's the reality. So information and entertainment, they distract us from this reality. So I said, Henry, I'm out here on the same corner as NBC. And every day, I try to influence, even if it's just one person. If I could influence just one person, that would be all right. And I give them this book right here, which begins with and ends with the perfection of yoga or union with God. That is reality. Okay? So Henry said to me, well, do you really, because there were thousands of people, okay? He said, do you really think you're going to make a difference? And I said, Henry, let me tell you a story. There was an old man, and he was walking along the beach. And the beach, the tide had gone out. Maybe here in Bombay you've seen this sometimes. The tide goes out. And this particular beach, on the beach, there were many, many starfish. Okay? The surf had brought the starfish in. And then the tide went out, and the starfish were stuck on the sand. Sometimes whales, they have that happen, right? The whales get beached, and they can't get back in the water, right? So these starfish, there were thousands and thousands of starfish. And the old man looked and he saw the starfish. And so he bent over and he picked up a starfish and he walked to the side of the water and he tossed it out into the water. And he came back and he picked up another starfish. He tossed that back into the water. So one young boy came along and he said to him, hey old man, what are you doing? And the old man said, well, can't you see? It's obvious. All these starfish are stranded. I'm trying to take them back into the ocean before they die. And the boy looked at him and he said, you really think you're going to make a difference? And the man bent down and picked up that starfish, the next starfish. He looked at the boy and he walked over to the river. And he tossed the starfish into the water. And he turned to the boy and he said, well, I made a difference for that one, didn't I? You understand the point? The spiritual master comes to this material world. Krishna comes. Sometimes he comes himself. And always he sends his devotees. And they feel so affected by the truth of Krishna and the truth of Krishna's mercy and the potency of Krishna's mercy and the importance of Krishna's mercy and the availability of Krishna's mercy, right? and how inexpensive it is. It's not expensive. It's free. So the pure devotee knows this, and he wants to make a difference in as many people's lives as he possibly can. And he asks all those who come forward to him, kindly you help me in making this mercy available. You see? So Vyasadeva, he was not experiencing the full taste of this mercy. And Narad Muni said, now you must glorify directly, not indirectly, you must glorify directly the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you must distribute these pastimes, knowledge of these pastimes, access to these pastimes, to as many people, to as many conditioned souls as you possibly can. So this pastime of Puranjan is a very, very beautiful, beautiful story. And the essence of this chapter is, in the beginning of this chapter, the story goes that the Brahmin, the old Brahmin, appears and reminds Vaidarbhi, who was Puranjan, that I'm your old friend. And I've been trying to wake you up for many, many, many lifetimes. I have stayed with you for many lifetimes to awaken you to your original consciousness. So kindly take advantage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha. Most merciful manifestation of Krishna. He makes Krishna consciousness easily available to everyone. Every time someone says, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, they go closer and closer and closer to Krishna. And I remember when I was a new devotee, when I first became a devotee, the devotees told us that Srila Prabhupada had said, when you take one step to Krishna, huh? Does anyone know this quote? What happens? Huh? Yeah, you take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. Just one step, then Krishna takes 10 steps. If you take 10 steps, Krishna takes 100 steps. 1,000 steps, 10,000 steps. You see? So, that's why the Sankirtan devotees are fearless. They're not fruitive workers. They're not selling for the sake of selling and getting money or fame, prestige, right? I'm the best salesman, or I made the most money, or I had the biggest totals. No. Every time you give someone even the chance to touch the book, right? And to ask you some question, or to hear some explanation, you have pleased the Lord unlimitedly. And they have pleased the Lord unlimitedly. You see? Unlimitedly. And the fruit that we gain is simply knowing that Krishna is pleased. Directly, not indirectly. Krishna is directly pleased. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam also contains, as Srila Prabhupada states here, beautiful allegorical stories, fiction, but fiction with a higher purpose. Not fiction for the purpose of pleasing our senses, but fiction for the purpose of bringing us to the realization of Krishna and the importance of Krishna consciousness. One time in a class in Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada, he actually said that if 1% of the world became Krishna conscious, then the world would become like a heavenly planet. And he said, if 10% became Krishna conscious, like Vaikuntha. So I raised my hand after the class when Prabhupada said, any questions? I raised my hand. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, is that really true? That if we could change the effect of Kali Yuga, and at least for those who are Krishna conscious, we could change the influence of Kali Yuga like that? And Prabhupada looked right at me at that point. He was looking at all the devotees. And then he said, yes. And he's looking at the devotees. I was sitting over here. He said, yes. And then he went, you have not experienced personally? And I had to agree. Yes. For my life, in my life, the influence of Kali had been diminished. You see? And I was experiencing the benefits of Krishna consciousness. Everyone is looking for a way to know that they are pleasing, right? In the eyes of God. That feeling of desiring to be pleasing gets misdirected in this material world. And we want to be pleasing to the opposite sex, or we want to be pleasing to our boss, or we want to be pleasing to our friends, right? Oftentimes young people do things they wouldn't ordinarily do because they want to be accepted, right, by their friends. So this desire to be accepted and approved of is very deep within us because it is part and parcel of the soul. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, and I recommend you, after class, any one of you can read Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text number 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60. And you will see Krishna explains clearly how simple it is to become very, very pleasing to Him. So simple! Nothing complicated. Very simple. Chant 16 rounds. Follow the... And try to avoid the offenses, because Krishna is a person. He has appeared personally as the holy name. Try not to offend. Right? Don't disregard Him. Don't minimize Him. Don't minimize those who have given you Him. Right? All these offenses are personal. Right? Just like if someone here gets up to walk out of the temple room, right, and accidentally kicks another godbrother, right? Usually we go, oh, I'm sorry, Prabhu, right? But if we're crude or unaware, right, or intoxicated, so we don't know what's going on, we can be very crude and clumsy, right? And we can make offenses to each other, and we don't even realize it. And we don't apologize, right? Srila Prabhupada said, Guru Puja was a wonderful opportunity for us each day to come before the spiritual master and ask him, please kindly you forgive me any offenses I made yesterday in my devotional service. Please, be kind, be merciful, help me not to make those offenses again. You see? So, Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds minimum, try to avoid the 10 offenses, follow the regulative principles, take Mahaprasadam, distribute the holy name, distribute Mahaprasadam, serve the devotees, and chant Hare Krishna before the deities for their pleasure. We're going back to Godhead after this life. It's that simple. Sometimes people say, is it that simple? Yes, it's that simple. It's not complicated. That's why devotees are so confident. Yes, you want to go back to Godhead? I can show you how to go back to Godhead. It's not a mystery. It's an open secret. It's not a mystery. Like Prabhupada said, these bogus yogis who give a mantra, the secret mantra, you know? Don't tell anyone, it's a secret. Right? People like secrets. They like to feel like they're special. Oh, he told me something amazing yesterday. What did he tell you? I can't tell you. It's He told me not to tell. So it makes me feel special, right? Oh, please, come on, tell me. I promise I won't tell anyone. No, I know you'll tell someone. No, I promise I'll never tell anyone. All right, I'll tell you. But don't tell anyone. I promise I won't tell anyone. But part of the thrill of having a secret is being able to tell at least one person. Right? Then you feel special, like I'm giving you the special knowledge, right? Special information. That's part of the thrill. But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't do like that. He went smack in the center of the city. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he wasn't a small personality, right? He was not inconspicuous, difficult to find. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they were resplendent, right? Like the sun. There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they arose over the eastern shore of Gaudadesh like the sun comes up in the morning. And everyone could see, right? And they didn't come and say, I've got the new political system. Like in India, you know, politics, all over the world, politics is everything. And they all speak like they're such authorities. Like they have the answer. It's such a joke. Each year, everyone has the answer. And each year things become more problematic. Each year things become more difficult. Prabhupada said they created the United Nations, and each year they add more and more flags, and they become simply more little flags to fight with each other. Right? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he said, no, just take this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And go back to home, go back to Godhead. Don't waste any time. So we're very fortunate. We're not special. We're fortunate. But we have a special duty. Right? And that special duty is to make everyone else fortunate. And that's it. Prabhupada one time he wrote, the Krishna consciousness movement is simply chanting Hare Krishna and telling others of the urgency to chant. That's it. So I'm very happy to come here to the Chaupati Temple. And I want to thank all the devotees. You are a wonderful, wonderful example of a Krishna conscious temple, Krishna conscious environment in the style of Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada wanted the temples to be. His Holiness Raghunath Swami has done an amazing, amazing and wonderful job here. You're all very fortunate to have him. And I want to thank you for your kind, gracious hospitality. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak a little bit on Bhagavatam, on the chanting. And I'll be here for some time. Maybe we can arrange some class about Sankirtan, if you like, about book distribution. When my leg is a little better, maybe we could go on Harinam. Huh? Huh? Is there Rath Yatra? When is that? What's the date? Today? Is there Rath Yatra? Where? Yeah. I can't pull the cart. No, I can walk and chant. Are there any questions or comments by any of you Prabhus or realizations? Okay. So we can have more kirtan tomorrow. Huh? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath.